Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill Radio Show. We're glad that you've tuned in. And tonight, it's going to be Miss Barbara Moore and I talking about the latest news, and we're going to be talking through Stop Common Core Eyes. I don't know if y'all have heard the latest about Arne Duncan. And he was mentioned at a Chicago town hall that Laura Ingraham had hosted. And it was very, very interesting that his name was mentioned. And here's Miss Barbara to help us start the show. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hey, Diana. Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going. We are... We're going to go and talk a little bit about Arne Duncan tonight. Well, I'm sure you've got a lot to say about him, but as always, we've got to start the show in prayer, right, Miss Barbara?
That's right.
But if you don't mind, I don't know, Miss Barbara, you know, we haven't been doing this in a while, but one of the things I love, and I guess in the future, if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, give us a little nugget. I call it, you know, just it's really a wonderful nugget of history that you had shared with us. And I've learned so much from you. God is so good to have given me the best teacher. But anyway, but I think, you know, we could use it. So maybe next time we're on, if you could have a little something for us, a little history nugget or something that you want us to be mindful of that can be passed on, I sure would appreciate it. And I think others will too before you start your prayer. So if you got a nugget now, please mention it. If not, you can just start with a prayer.
I don't exactly have a nugget right now, Diana, but I will in the future. The only thing I was thinking about, though, is how this nation was, you know, just simmered in prayer, just steeped in prayer, just immersed in prayer. That was just so much a part of who our ancestors were, you know, and they gave extemporaneous prayers. They did written prayers and prayers of liturgies of the different services in the churches. But an acknowledgement of God in his greatness, in his goodness, and in his intimacy with all those who believe in him, trust in him, and have received him as Savior and Lord. So with that, let's carry on that marvelous tradition from our founding fathers, and let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, how good you are, Lord, to give us such a legacy, to give us such a great, great beginning, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings, Father. They're just innumerable. And Father, they are varied. They are many and manifold, as I believe it says in the Thanksgiving prayer of 1789. Many and manifold are the blessings you've given us. And Father, your word says that every day you load us down with benefits. And one of the greatest benefits, the greatest benefits, Lord, is to know you and how you make yourself available to us every day through your word, Father, through nature, as we gaze in splendor at all you have created, Father, that you speak to our hearts, you speak to our spirits, you speak to our minds, our emotions, with the beauty that you've created for us, Father. We thank you, Father, that you desire for us to be close to you. You desire for us to know you intimately, personally, and to speak to you all day long and to listen to you, Lord. To listen to you through other people, to listen to you, Lord, in the quiet, to listen to you most of all, Father, through your word. And Father, we thank you for that benefit that you give us. Father, we just desire that everyone would come to know you and love you and serve you, delight in you, O God, to joy in you, Lord, in the God of our salvation. Father, we pray for souls. We pray for many, many souls to be awakened, Lord, to your truth, your reality, your beauty, and your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We love your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that we desire to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might do great exploits as did your servant Daniel. Father, we can't do anything apart from you, anything of any value, of any worth. No, Father, we have to be connected to you, the true and living God. And so, Father, we pray, we just pray, Father, for people to be saved, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to have just such an awakening to your presence and your purpose for each life. Father, we thank you that you have pleasure in your people. We thank you, oh God, that you have pleasure in us. What a wonderful thought that is, Lord, that we can please you, the God of all the universe, the King of glory, that we, who are nothing, can please you, who are everything. Father, we just desire those souls as you do, Lord. You desire that none should perish, but that all should come to have eternal life and be with you throughout eternity. And Lord, that's our prayer. That's our prayer for souls. And Father, then acting, Father, as you change us inwardly, Lord, that whatever we touch outwardly, Father, would be changed the way you desire it to be changed. First the inward, then the outward. Father, we pray that through this awakening, this great awakening, this great revival that we're praying for, Father, along with so many other Christians, Lord, we pray, Lord, that it would sweep through our country and throughout the world. And as that happens, Father, then we make right those things that have gone wrong in our country, Lord, in our various countries, because we desire to please you and do things the way you want them done. And Father, we ask all of this, and we praise you and thank you and love you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Well, so much has been happening, Miss Barbara, and I don't know if you got to watch last night's Ingram angle. Did you get to see that where she went to Chicago?
You know, I did not get to watch that. I know it was good. I know that it was very enlightening. So what did you observe? What are your insights? What's your takeaway?
Well, I think the whole thing. What was that?
I said, what was your takeaway from it?
I mean, there wasn't, you know, like thousands of people there, which I am guessing it took a lot of very courageous people to even be there and to speak up. And I think these are the people that really must love Chicago, must really want an answer. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs when you've got rallies and you've got riots over illegal immigrants wanting to come in this nation illegally and demanding their rights, but yet actual citizens of Chicago that have a right to be free to walk around in the streets, to raise their children in school, and not have to be afraid of all that violence. You know, it's like you're not hearing a national conversation as you are with illegal immigration. And that just goes to show, you know, because the news is not really covering it. This is propaganda. This is all about propaganda, because if the news really cared, they'd be there every day until the problem is fixed. It should have been fixed, because Obama, I mean, that is where he's from, and he had 8 years to fix it, and we didn't see a fix. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so I think it was last night they had a pastor on, and he brought in something about, you know, I think that, you know, parents, I know that a lot of these are single moms, and it's very hard to rein in kids. But that is one of the things that he's saying is we've got to make a better effort, you know, of reining in the kids, not let them loose. And I'm sure in a one
parent household with a lot of kids, that's very, very hard. So it's going to take the church along with the parents, but you know, the parents going to have to bite the bullet and just be the seen as the bad guy by these kids. And I think, you know, just discipline and just, you know, it's hard, but they're going to have to if they want to see their children live. And the other thing was, there was a gentleman that talked about, he has led some kind of a group, and not just in this nation, but in other countries, that can intervene to ratchet down situations, you know, before they get to this high violence stage like we're seeing in Chicago. And he's saying, you know, that we need really to, you know, change the conversation. He said he could show them, he can help them. And I'm thinking, golly, if there's such a man, why haven't we had him all the years? But he did mention Arne Duncan. He mentioned that Arne Duncan got $130 million, and, you know, he was not very – he did not seem to like Arne Duncan and what Arne Duncan is about. But I tried to find out what was the $130 million. I saw something where there's $130 million that was given to Arne, I think some kind of a foundation or a trust or something in education. And I don't know if maybe that's what he's talking about, and that's – you know, involved in Chicago, because of course they want to change Chicago and make it better to education. But when you got Arne Duncan at the helm, Ms. Barbara, that's terrible.
Well, I do remember that some time ago that Arne Duncan received a lot of money to make the schools safer for homosexuals. And with a lot of new programs and whatever you wanted to do. Now, I don't know that that's the same thing, but it was the big push, make our schools safer. And what he was talking about was for homosexual kids. So,
I think he's had his hands on a lot of things, Miss Barbara. And you know very well, because, you know, the very beginning of this, y'all were fighting Goals 2000.
Oh, yeah, way back to that, before 2000, yeah. And, you know, we're seeing so much of what we were fighting. We've seen so much of it come to pass in little ways, in, you know, all kinds of different pathways. And, you know, Diana, I was thinking when you're talking about Chicago and the horrible violence and the state, the condition that it's in for the people there, and how horrible that is, how tragic that is, and yet I think most of our communities, although it's not visible like that, Chicago is like the picture we can see, but I think in many communities that our values are being undermined by different policies, and particularly in education. I heard of an instance just over this weekend, and I'm going to put this out there, and I'm going to challenge everyone to find out what's happening in their own community, in their own classrooms. And this is a situation at one of our high schools. We have two high schools here. I don't know if it's going on in both high schools, but I would imagine so. But in one of them, in a ninth grade class, when the Pledge of Allegiance is spoken from the over the microphone over the throughout the whole school, nobody stops doing what they're doing. The teacher does not stand. The teacher continues to do what she was doing at her desk or wherever. The kids are talking. There's no acknowledgement to pledge allegiance to our country and to our flag. And this is a ninth grade class.
Wow.
And but see, wow. That's not the only one. That's going on. That's going on. A lot more classrooms. And I just challenge everyone to find out what's going on regarding, you know, if the flag, if our country is being disrespected, held in contempt this way in other classrooms, and I would guess that that is the case. Isn't that sad? And we wonder how we got to this place. It's been happening. It's just a lot has been happening, just undermining our the values of our country, the values of what we hold dear, and we're letting it happen. Wow. See, it's right under our nose, and we don't know about it. Do we think to ask about these things? Do we think to ask the teachers who are teaching, the those who are substituting at different schools, you know, how did you find it? What's going on regarding these things, like the Pledge of Allegiance, like bullying, like, you know, what's being done to, you know, what positive measures are happening to inspire the kids to greater good, you know? Or is it going the other way, you know?
Well, I think, Ms. Barbara, all these are really interconnected, you know?
Yeah.
I think when y'all talk about Goals 2000, how they, you know, they did not succeed. Y'all were able to fight that. And then they came back stronger. And really, it'd been cooking. You know, it was cooking during the Clinton years. And then, but when Obama came in, I mean, one of the things that should have alerted everybody is, what is a former terrorist going to the White House from day one? You know, and why is he held up? I mean, and you know, you see articles where he's talking about Secretary of Education, you know, who he wanted. And I'm thinking, shouldn't that have been a danger sign when you've got a former terrorist that's right there, you know, at the helm of your nation's education? I mean, a person who really hated what his country was and wanted to change it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking... Yeah. That's the part I don't understand. And now with it getting so bad, because, you know, he never stopped.
No, he never stopped.
Just found a different way to destroy. Yeah, he's now the leading spokesperson for teachers, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, we saw that with the opt-out movement, and they were inviting him as a guest speaker. I'm thinking, how can you fix education when you've got somebody like that as your hero? And that you want to train younger teachers. And of course, you know, the latest is we saw the militant brochure from the Democrat Socialist. You know, they want to build a militant group. They want to build a militant minded, you know, young people, you know, with teachers that are like minded going into the schools to do what? To manipulate.
Well,
I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, where are we?
Well, you know, that is their goal. You know, you know, Diana, I remember back in 2008 when we were doing the radio show at the radio station, and we were talking about Bill Ayers, and you know, we were talking about the race to the top, and who all was involved. Linda Darling was heading it up for a time and writing the some of the Race to the Top things, you know. And but yeah, you know, it's very clear. You know, even Sean Hannity, very early on, he was exposing Bill Ayers and the connection to Obama, and he's national, and a lot of people watch him, and it did not gain any traction. It did not, you know, I mean, I can understand it, that we didn't gain any traction, and the great opposition to this, you know, rise up. But even Sean Hannity, you know, and there were others, Michelle Malkin and others, you know. I don't know. But it's very clear.
I think Americans are so busy, Ms. Barbara. We are so busy. Unless you're affected, unless your house is burning, you almost don't notice. Unless you have children that are actually being harmed or something and has been affected. And, you know, but now there's more. I mean, we now know, more parents know about Common Core. So we're hoping more parents, of course, you know, it's like, you know, as we saw the Trump train grow, a lot of those parents know exactly what Common Core is because they were part of the, I think they were part of the train, you know, the Trump train.
Yeah. I don't know. As you said, everyone is is so busy. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to say what your priorities are. You have to build your life on your priorities. And if your family, if your children are your priority, then you have to be involved. Think about this. Probably one child out of how many in a classroom came home and told their parents, was shocked that everyone disrespected the flag in his class, you know. And how many kids went home and told their parents that? My guess would be none. It wouldn't have been that important to them. So you haven't been raised that way.
Ms. Barbara, then the problem's the teachers.
Absolutely. They are part of it.
I mean, if
you've
got
absolutely.
Teachers... Yeah, and I think pretty much, you know, it's like Bill Ayers and them have done such a good job of putting a whole bunch of teachers that really do not care truthfully to respect this country. There's still a lot of good teachers, but they're afraid of losing their job, that they're not being very outspoken. And I think we've got to change that narrative of giving the other kind of teachers the stature. You know, they should really be put to shame. It should really be against the law to have subversion in our schools, disrespect for this country in our schools. Isn't that, I mean, I would think, to me instinctively it's wrong, but I would think that somewhere there is a law. I mean, we're paying money. This is a government-funded school.
Yeah. It's so complex, and there's so many layers, layer after layer of bureaucracy, and it's just there's so many rules, and you don't even know what the rules are. This mother was told that there's a law in Alabama. I don't believe this is true, but she was told that there's a law in Alabama that teachers do not have to stand or lead the Pledge of Allegiance. And I cannot believe that is true. And I've got to look into that. So,
wow.
But it's just real deep, the layers of laws and rules and regulations. And now, you know, it's like taken for granted. It's you can't do this because of such and you can't do that.
Goodness.
You can't, you know, all these things you can't do. And
well, Ms. Barbara, if you're going to try to train up children that do not respect your country to grow up to be a militant army against your country, it seems to me like they're going through the process.
Training up little Bill Ayers, little Billies.
I almost think that this is
what's
a national.
What's her name?
Bill Ayers.
Wife too. Yeah, what, you remember her name? Oh, dear. I know her name, Diana.
The what now? I did not catch the first part. Who was
Bill Ayers? Bernadette.
Linda Darling-Hammond.
We're training up little Bernadettes and little Billies.
Terrorists. Oh, my goodness. Bernadine Dorn. Yes. And Miss Barbara, I think if you could just, you know, again, it's just a matter of getting these legislators to sit down and take a listen and look. Because you've got so much fact, you've got so much proof. You've had 8 years of proof,
yeah.
and the culmination of it, you're seeing the Antifa, and they don't even know what they're fighting for. But they're fighting because, you know, it's like what Joan Landis had warned us, you know, remember the Arab Spring? Mindset is, you know, they're easily manipulated, easily led, all this consensus thinking, group thinking, you know, that's what they're doing. And she said, you know, America is supposed to be independent thinkers. That's what made America great. But yet they're molding these children to be group thinkers. I think group thinking is good after you've already got your independent thinking, you know.
the political manipulators put us all in groups, and they're training our children to think of people in groups, not as individuals. You know, in America, used to be one individual plus the Constitution. You know, that's how strong the power of the Constitution was for one individual. Now it's all, we're labeled in different groups. And
well, I am proud of the ones that stood out, Ms. Barbara. Like, you know, there was a Supreme Court, a state Supreme Court. They all got kicked out. You know, that was in the news. I think it was Virginia, seemed like, that they kicked out all their Supreme Court. Not just one, Ms. Barbara.
Wow. Well, that reminds me of Iowa.
Supreme Court.
Many years ago.
They were caught doing something with the money. And it's like they didn't get rid of just one. So that's pretty amazing.
I love that. Oh, that's great.
And then, of course, there's a lady from West Virginia. I think it was West Virginia. You remember how Fairfax County, I think that was in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Where they were doing the bathroom thing, the boys and the girls together. Yeah, somebody stood up and said enough of that. And she actually was one of those that got the Republican National Committee to pass a resolution where now when they're teaching sex ed, you know, as you were talking to Miss Betty, it's got to be an opt-in.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, can you share what you saw, Miss Betty, and you were at the Republican meeting. Would you mind sharing that? And I think it needs to encourage every state. We all need to be doing the same thing.
Well, Diana, about Geneva County.
Well, they haven't actually passed, Barbara. They haven't actually passed one. It was talked about, Ms. Betty got talked about, but I think that's going to happen. But the first was really Ms. Betty even bringing it up, I guess, for the state, right? That was a really good thing to even, and it was voted almost unanimously.
She voted, right. There were very few votes in opposition to a resolution that states that any sexual teaching in the public schools in Alabama, well, in the United States, it was done at the national level too with the Republican committee, national committee. But the resolution states that any sexual teaching, that parents have to not opt out of it if they oppose it for their child, but they actually have to opt in and say they want this deviant sexual stuff given to their children. So it's a marvelous resolution, and it was voted in our state executive committee. It was voted in the national Republican committee. We're hoping that other county executive committees pass it. We're hoping that the women's clubs pass it. And of course, ultimately, we're hoping that the Alabama Board of Education passes it and it be a directive and enforced throughout our state.
Oh, that would be a wonderful thing, Miss Barbara.
Now, you heard Betty speak Friday night, right? And
I heard her speak last week. Yes, she spoke last week and told us about it. And I'm sure they're going to put it before a vote on their next meeting. They did not have enough people there. They did not have a quorum, or I think it would have been voted.
Okay.
But they're going to, they're going to be able to do this, and hopefully other counties will do the same. It's really a wonderful thing, because I think for the first time in a long time, it will give parents, you know, a tool.
Yes.
And that the problem is they haven't, the tools that they had, I mean, were being taken away. And it's like, I know,
yes.
You know, they had to feel pretty helpless. I mean, what can you do but really take them out of public schools? But some could not take them out of public schools. But to me, Ms. Barbara, you got to fight for public school, because those public schools mean children. It's
That's
not
right.
really
That's
something
right.
you can just walk away from, because you're walking away from children and pretty much leaving them there in the mire that really we put them in as a nation.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, I believe, going to have to answer God if we don't do something as a nation.
We did.
About
going
it.
Back to the Great Society, Lyndon Johnson, and the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of what, 1965? And now just recently repassed by our national legislature, our senators and representatives, with all this garbage in it, continues to be filled with garbage. But this is a good thing. As you said, it is a tool in the hands of parents that can be used to protect their children. There's still a lot of problems even with that, as we know that Common Core has taken Planned Parenthood, for example. There are some of those groups that have come together and put this so-called sex education and embedded it into not just keeping it as sex education, that's bad enough, but embedding it into all the other subjects as well, so that no child can be free from exposure to it, and exposure to deviancy, exposure to all manner of debauchery and filthiness. We've got a lot of work to do with such a good start that parents have to opt in for the garbage. Yes, I'll opt little Johnny in for garbage and trash today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
And Ms. Barbara, you know, we've got I think parents all over the country have got to realize that the reason education is so messed up is because, you know, something moves things, right? You got to have people behind the scenes that's doing this thing. I mean, who would want to put together a school that's for dumbing down? And it's been proven our own state was the bottom of the pile. But we're not the only state. Every state has went down. But, of course, they're changing the SAT. They're changing the ACT. So that, you know, the measure of what's truly happening won't be seen. You know, it's going to seem like, oh, kids are doing well now because the scores are going up. But what they've done is they've changed the scoring system. They've aligned it with Common Core, a dumbing down system being checked by dumbing down, test scores. But, Ms. Barbara, I'm thinking for parents not to think that, you know, because, you know, sometimes when – you see some of these parents that are not getting it, that, you know, the politicians that are behind the scenes is why we're in the mess we're in. And it's like they do not get it that if you're not involved politically, you're not going to get rid of this stuff, because it takes that along with God and you acting, you know, with the right vote. He gave us the privilege to vote. But if you're not acting and voting with knowledge and truth, Ms. Barbara, and, you know, and let's face it, media's not sharing the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. So for these people that are kind of burying their head in the sand, they're thinking, you know, we've got to talk about just education only. We cannot talk about politics mixed in education, because that's not what caused Common Core. And I'm thinking, what planet are you on?
Well, you know, Diana, it's so tragic. The parents of today and earlier than just the parents of today, the parents of yesterday as well. But they've never been taught their responsibility to their country as part of their responsibility to God. They've not been taught that. They've not been taught that in any schools, really. Maybe sometimes in the around the kitchen table, you know, or, you know, families with a real strong value system that impart that to their children, but very few. So you have 80% of Americans are miseducated through the public school system. And so you have all these people that have never been taught their civics, they've been taught civics, never been taught their civic duty, never been taught how great this country is, and how we have a debt to those who've gone before us to give us this incredible opportunity that we have, to all this freedom and opportunity, and you know, so they've never been taught that. And so you can have people that don't really think about their country much and just take all these blessings for granted. And you know, so when it's not taught, well, they were not taught that. It goes back. It goes way back. I remember being patriotic growing up in a little Midwest town. And I remember the veterans marching and in the parades and how, you know, patriotic, you know, but as for actually being taught about the founding fathers and the incredible uniqueness of our country and how they had the biblical view that put it all together, and I was never taught that, you know. So I know, you know, a lot of other people. I'm 71 years old, and they were not teaching it back then. So we have generation after generation who have not been taught civics, so we're where we are today. Ideas
wow.
have consequences.
It just gets worse, Miss Barbara.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. What we did have, though, I will say this, in the reading, in literature, no, we didn't have the classics in the public school, but we did have stories. We did have stories that we read that made you feel good inside about your country. You know, we had stories that made you feel good inside about families and about, you know, important things. And I won't say they're actually inspiring. I might not go that far, but they did make you feel good inside, like there was more to life than you know, than where you were, you know, in school.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I remember the David Barton conference that we had, and there's a little tape that I've got where, you know, he talked about the math that they used to use, the mental math.
The things they were doing in their heads.
I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, as smart as maybe we think our generation is, and we think the next generation has lost some more of their smartness, but these people were geniuses. Genius level. And I'm thinking, simply put, I think America found the secret to genius. And that was really the Word of God. There is nothing like the Word of God. They lived it. They breathed it. And like you said, when they go to church on Sunday, it wasn't for an hour. It was an all-day thing. And that's the only explanation I believe I can have, because we don't see that happening now. And I don't know that it's... Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
We don't see that happening now. But I think the most important thing, and there were a lot of important things, like you said, being in church for 3 hours and all day and evening, but they honored the Sabbath. They honored it. And that's kind of rare these days, really. But I think one of the most important things that the Founding Fathers did, and I think there's something like 250 of our founding fathers, and most of us don't know very many of them, but there were a lot during our fight for independence, you know, leading up to that, and then fight for independence, and then, you know, forging a new nation and all that that entails. So you have a lot of people during those years. So it's estimated that we have about 250. But one of the things that they all had in common was that they read the Bible through every year, cover to cover. That was just a practice that was just ingrained in them, and they just did it. It was something you did. You read the Bible from cover to cover every year. In addition to that, then reading great literature, where it was a biblical worldview in the great literature, and Shakespeare had a biblical worldview, and all his plays, that's present. There was a recognition of the power of Almighty God, and His reality, and so I mean, they were readers. And these ideas were just grounded in them. It was not even hardly a choice, you know. They were just filled with these ideas, you know.
Well, and I remember, you know, Mona Lisa Harding, which she's written a book, College by 12. And she talked about, you know, what they did for her family was they read the Bible every day. It was a given that they were going to start off their lesson with reading, you know, the Bible. And really, when she would let them do book reports, it would be on like George Washington Carver, you know, a great men of faith, you know, and what they accomplished. And so these were children that got on the right foundation. And I think, kind of like, you know, how you sharpen a knife, Miss Barbara, when you were saying, as you were saying, you know, they read the Word, that was sharpening their minds. I wish there were parents, and you can see it with homeschoolers, just the difference is like night and day. But if you, you know, and I, but I wish there would be a group that would exactly do it the way the founders did, and let's do a study.
I know.
And just,
what a blessing that would be.
Ms. Barbara,
for kids.
I'm going to share something just for a moment. I'm going to let you hear this and let the audience hear this. This is David Barton at that conference talking about some of the things that kids did. I'm just going to be short, but here it comes.
Uh-oh, it's thinking. Sorry, Miss Barbara.
A little bit. But yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well, it's talking about Fisher Ames. Fisher Ames. Yeah, Fisher Ames at the age of 12 went to Harvard. And he had to be trilingual. And that was one of the, Greek, Latin, as well as English.
Well,
it had to be fluent.
One of the entrance exams was translating a book of the Bible from one language to another.
Wow.
I remember the,
wow.
Hebrew, the Greek,
age 12.
Yeah.
Oh, Miss Barbara, we have cheated. We have cheated children so much. I feel like,
we were cheated.
Really.
We were cheated as
well.
Yeah,
we were cheated too. Who knows? Who knows what we could have done? Oh, my goodness. But this now that's being done is nothing but blatant destruction. And I was seeing somewhere, too, I think a video last night, when children are at genius level at age 4 or 5, and you could tell that, I believe that's true because you can tell when it's like they're sucking everything. Their mind is just so, so sharp, But they said, something about, when they start going to school, by the time they graduate, guess how many times I've been told no. And it's like you shut down a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You got to be still. You can't talk. You can't even have recess. Miss Barbara, we are killing these children.
Yeah.
I mean, we're killing the inner man, that precious inside.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, we know that nothing is impossible with God, but it is so vast and it is so broad and deep what has happened, and how we have just declined dramatically in our abilities, our capacities, because they've never been developed. The Lord gives us such incredible brains, such wonderful minds, and with such capacity for greatness and such abilities, and yet we don't develop what He's put there. It has to be developed, and never even developed the thought process, how to think, we could get really, really depressed, continuing to go on like this. We're going to have to look for some hope somewhere, Diana. We know that.
Well,
our hope
I'm going to read something, Miss Barbara. I think what I'd like for us to do. And, of course, in the coming weeks, I think I'm going to ask our old friends, Mr. Bernard, Chaplain, Garrett Lear, all these other friends to start coming on with us,
Oh, yes.
And might have to extend the show to 1.5 hours, if not 2, and start coming on. Because we only do a show once a week, and we've got a lot of these people that, need to be heard and have got some thoughts that I can bless so many, but I think what I'd like to do, you give your nuggets But I'd also like to read the Bible before we close. And I think that is where the hope comes from, right? The Word. In the beginning was the Word, right?
and the Word became God. Flesh and dwelt among us. Yes.
Yes. And I just love Psalm 103. Ms. Barbara, you mind if I read Psalm 103?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just love this one. For those that have not heard this, do not read the Bible, just like to share with you the beautiful scriptures that are in the Bible. This is Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us as after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Covenant unto those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What you think, Ms. Farmer?
Amen. Amen. Dad, so beautiful. I love the Psalms so much. And lately, the Lord's been leading me into those Psalms to begin my time with him every day and just get, you know, just like what you read, you know, you just feel the presence of the Lord. And our thoughts are on him and his wonders, you know, and his preciousness. And so, starting there in Psalms and just staying there a while, you know, living there a while there in the Psalms, and then moving on into my reading of the Gospels and going through systematically as our founding fathers did. But to start in those Psalms, because it just opens us up, you know, to what the Lord wants to say to us. It tenderizes our hearts, I think. It's like he's leading us into greener pastures where he is, you know, where he is, our shepherd is. There in those green pastures of Psalms. I just love them.
I do too, Ms. Barbara. And my prayer is, you know, is that people will read to their children. And, you know, what we're talking about here is not strange. It's what the founding fathers knew worked. I mean, they knew. And I mean, they were willing to give up wherever they were, you know, across the waters, well, like we talked about, Miss Barbara, you know, amidst the dangers and the darkness, because they had faith in the word. They had faith. And I'm praying that the listeners would have the faith like a mustard seed, right? You can have a faith of a mustard seed, and it can move mountains.
That's right.
And a mountain might be the mountain of your doubt. You know, just have faith that, you know, if you will do these things that God commands us, you know, I just love Deuteronomy, I think 6:4, you know, we are to read to the children. He is requiring us to do these things. If you will just do that and listen to what the founding fathers believed was true and is true, and it benefits you and me because we're here free. I mean, really, we are the beneficiaries of their faithfulness. They put their faith and trust in the Word of God. So I just encourage parents, Miss Barbara. It does sound hopeless, does sound helpless, but, you know, for that mama or grandma, whoever it was that, you know, put together the resolution, I say, thank you, Lord. You know, that one thing is going to be, I believe, humongous, and I'm believing there's other things, because I'm believing God is waking us up. You know, when we see these children getting beat up, that's pretty much what we're seeing. They're getting beat up. Their minds are being turned to nothing when they are full of God's promise. So we're going to say no to that. We're going to claim the word of God for them. So, Ms. Barbara, I just, you know, thank you that God put this in your heart that we do this show. And I just love being able to read the psalm. And next week, maybe you can read a psalm that you love.
and that one is definitely one I love. Now there's one, it's for us who are getting much older age, and it's like Psalm 171, I think it is. It is so beautiful. I've been living in that psalm for several days. I mean, just the promises in that one. I mean, it is. Yeah, maybe I'll read that one.
Read that one.
It is just really something. And
well, Miss Barbara, we've got. If you don't mind, would everything that was put before God, would you close us in prayer, and put these things before God?
I would love to. You know, I would love to. And but remember, I started in prayer, so I want to be blessed.
That's right. Okay.
I want to be blessed with your prayers, please.
Okay. I'll pray for all of us. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, you are such a good God, and Lord, we pray that the listeners would find how sweet you are, that, Lord, your word is sweeter than honey. And Heavenly Father, what we have read, Lord, is a gift from you, and there's so much of it in the scriptures, Lord. We pray that if they do not have a Bible, that they'll buy one, and that they will just cherish it, that they will read it, and that they will use it as a weapon, Lord, so that they can help free their children, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to pray with them. We ask that you bless them, shine your face upon them, anoint them with the oil of joy and the peace that passes understanding. We ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Night, Miss Barbara. We'll turn again next week, Monday night. Yes, ma'am?
One more thing. And, you know, you can go to any thrift store, and they have different Bibles that have been donated, different translations. And, you know, for a dollar or two, you can get almost a brand new Bible. So, you know, don't let the price, you know, you get some real expensive ones, but you can get some real, some cheaper ones also. So don't let that be a hindrance.
And if you're a person that do not want to know anybody, don't want anybody to know that you're reading a Bible, or was even curious to get a Bible, I say this, Miss Barbara, you know, when we die, we pretty much die alone. When we go from this world, you know, you're nobody is really holding your hand. Hopefully Jesus will be, you know, awaiting you, but you die alone. So, you know, don't miss out. Try this for yourself and see. And I think, you know, try God. I mean, the Founding Fathers did, and they found him to be really good. So we pray you'll find the same thing that we have found. God bless you.
Okay.
And thank you, Miss Barbara. Yeah. God bless the children. And I pray parents
Amen.
Will pray with the children with a scripture. That is such a blessing. Such a blessing.
Amen.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, good night.
We'll see them next week, next Monday. Good night.
Bye-bye.